This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the American Monetary Association's podcast, where we explore how monetary policy impacts the real lives of real people and the action steps necessary to preserve wealth and enhance one's lifestyle.
Welcome to the podcast for the American Monetary Association. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and this is a service of my private foundation, the Jason Hartman Foundation. Today, we have a great interview for you, so I think you'll enjoy it. And comment on our website or our blog post. We have a lot of resources there for you, and you can find that at AmericanMonetaryAssociation.org. That's AmericanMonetaryAssociation.org, or the website for the foundation, which is JasonHartmanFoundation.org. Thanks so much for listening, and please visit our website and enjoy our extensive blog and other resources there. It's my pleasure to welcome Chuck Dixon. He is the comic book writer of The Punisher, Batman, Nightwing, Robin, and The Hobbit, and adapter of the new book, Clinton Cash, a graphic novel about the untold story of how and why foreign governments and businesses helped make Bill and Hillary rich. Chuck, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine, doing fine.
Good, good stuff. So your comics are for entertainment when they're talking about superheroes and The Hobbit and so forth, but also you're talking about politics, right?
Yeah. This is very much a political book because it deals with the Clintons and their various travails throughout the years.
Right. Oh, the Clintons, they're so squeaky clean, come on. They've never had a scandal.
Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us a little bit about it. So Clinton Cash is actually a book or a comic book, or like, give us a sense of what it is, first of all, in terms of the medium.
Well, it's a graphic novel, which is a fancy, trendy word for a comic book. But it is a hardcover book. It's 112 pages, and it basically adapts Peter Schweizer's expose of the Clinton Foundation into comic book form, using cartoon pictures and panels. And the object is to, reach a wider audience, explore the material in a different way that may be more appealing to people than reading Peter's book, which is, a publishing phenomenon on its own. But, we haven't reached everybody, and we're hoping that this book, reaches even more readers.
Yeah, fantastic. So I see on Amazon Peter's book, that's got a lot of attention and great reviews, by the way. So basically, you've adapted a lot of that information into the comic, right, to reach more people. Good stuff. And then there's a documentary as well by the same name, and you're not affiliated with that, I guess, right?
No. We were basically working simultaneously. I was working on the graphic novel while they were making the documentary.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Take us into a little bit about the Clintons, if you would, and what happened, and what is the kind of the overall message here, if you would.
Well, the book explores Peter Schweizer's book and the graphic novel as well. A pattern of behavior, let's put it that way, that the Clintons have had since Bill left the White House, using Hillary's influence as a senator, then a candidate for president, and then Secretary of State, basically to enrich themselves with funds from foreign donors. And usually these foreign donors have interests, mining interests or commercial interests in third world countries where a lot of the rules of law and a lot of oversight just simply doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So, it's basically, as one person said in the Clinton circle, referred to the earthquake in Haiti, it was the Super Bowl of disasters. Mm-hmm. And they also refer to it as a gold rush. Mm-hmm. And the way the Clintons basically have enriched themselves through incredibly high speaking fees, donations to the Clinton Foundation, using the Clinton Foundation for their own personal use, the charitable funds there, and how all of this does not bode well for democracy.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of weeks ago, I watched a fantastic documentary, which you may be familiar with, titled Poverty Inc. And it talked about Haiti and the Clintons' involvement and the rice handouts and so forth, and how either intentionally or unintentionally, they just destroyed the economy there by giving away free rice. The unintended consequences of a lot of this stuff is really, really severe and mind-boggling, whether it's intentional or not. I'm not saying it's intentional, but Clinton, Bill, at least, did come around to kind of admit that in that documentary. So that was interesting. Tell us a little bit about what they're doing and how is it that they are just a, sort of above the law? I mean, this is an amazing power couple that just seems to, they're just like when Bill was president, he was called the Teflon president.
Right.
And Hillary's, I'll say it, her criminal career that has spanned decades. Maybe you wouldn't agree calling it that, but I'll go and venture and call it that. It's just mind boggling, you know, but there'd be the email scandal or way back to Whitewater and everything in between, how they just don't seem to be accountable for anything.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you put it down to they have a loyal following. There's not a John Dean in the Clinton crowd. No one's going to come forward and rat on them because they're very good at rewarding the people who are loyal to them. Case in point would be Huma Abedin or Huma Wiener, when Hillary was Secretary of State, Huma was her personal assistant, basically her right hand. But at the same time, Huma was also a full-time employee of the Clinton Foundation and the full-time employee of another corporation that was a big Clinton Foundation donor and often paid Bill high speaking fees. So Huma was pulling down three full-time paychecks at a time. That's how they reward people.
Unbelievable. Certainly we can be sure she was working 120 hours a week, 40 times three, right?
Yeah, I mean, she may be the most efficient person on earth.
Yeah,
but come
right.
on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. But okay, so that's the way they keep these people from ratting them out. But, you know, eventually someone has a falling out, you know. Do they end up dead like Vince Foster? Is that what happens to them? Or
I don't know. I mean, an awful lot of them go to jail and they still don't turn on the Clintons. Now, if it's out of fear or remuneration, I have absolutely no idea, or simply that no one will listen to them. I mean, we do have a complicit media in this country, which, you know, they won't go near anything that the Clintons do. You know, they might mention it in passing, but they never delve into it, which is what makes Peter's book, you know, so important, because he delves into it. He gets to the dirt.
Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. Well, what else do you want people to know about the Clintons and you know, maybe something we don't know, you know, that we don't hear? Like you say, the media pretty much gives them a pass. They might mention something, but they don't dig deep and they don't really expose things. But just wherever you want to go with that.
Well, the list of outrages is endless. I mean, I don't know where to begin. I mean, there's, you know, one of the most appalling in a list of appalling things is their relationship with Russia, which is in the news now, you know, the silly idea that Donald Trump is somehow in league with Vladimir Putin. Well, Hillary and Bill have been doing business with Putin for a decade. I mean, real cash business. Mm-hmm. When Rosatom is an agency of the Russian government, it controls their nuclear power as well as their nuclear weapons. And Rosatom is always in search of uranium because uranium is a hot market. Through Hillary's approval as Secretary of State, Rosatom was allowed to buy into uranium mine holdings in North America, in both Canada and the United States. So we have a Russian government agency, not just a mining firm, but a Russian government agency in charge of mining uranium within our border. In return for this, Bill was paid incredibly high speaking fees to make speeches in Moscow. And the Canadian mining firms who sold their shares to the Russian government awarded the Clinton Foundation $145 million in donations. Now, this could all be a coincidence, but who believes that? Mm-hmm. And that's what the story of Clinton Cash reveals is the pattern. I mean, you use the C word, criminal. I'm not going to use it. There's no smoking gun, but there's a pattern over and over and over again when the Clintons, I mean, you would have times when literally Bill would show up with a business partner in some third world country a day before Hillary showed up in her role as Secretary of State. So the deals were made and then Hillary came in basically to seal the deal. And then publicly, she might speak out against waiving the sanctions on some third world warlord. But then when at the last minute would always change her mind and allow and sign the waiver and allow some of the worst people on earth to do business in America.
Unbelievable. Yeah, just unbelievable. You know, this just makes me think that you will always have this type of activity going on in government or any large organization of any kind run by human beings. And, you know, people will ultimately, there will be a segment of them that are just looking out for their own self-interest and massively to the detriment of everybody else. So it seems to me the cure would be just make government smaller and less powerful, and the amount of this kind of graft and corruption will shrink because the overall size will shrink. I don't know why folks on the left just won't buy into that, because interestingly, they will usually admit that government is corrupt and inefficient and all of that stuff. Say exactly what you're saying. You know, Bill is there doing business with someone the day before, and then Hillary comes in the next day to do some favors and look the other way on some disgusting human rights abuses or whatever it might be, or environmental abuses, whatever. Just, you know, my wife will be here and she'll give you a pass if you'll sign this deal. You know, that's unbelievable.
Exactly. Exactly. Disgusting. And I'm with you. I'm with you on smaller government. I think that we should starve the government of money to force it to shrink and live within its means, and there will be less money around. I mean, why are real estate values so high in Washington? It's because this corruption is so rampant. It's going to be the end of us. It's going because, you know, when you're able to buy that kind of power, then what power do we have as voters? What power does a citizen have when, you know, anybody can with enough cash can get what they want?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, we have this huge industry of lobbyists. Any thinking person would simply ask themselves, well, why is it we have this huge industry of very powerful people and very rich people constantly lobbying the government? Why is it that during the financial crisis, we saw Washington, D.C. real estate values climb before everybody else's out of the recession? It's because every private jet was flying in there looking for their bailout and, you know, being part of the next omnibus deal, the next TARP program, you know, whatever it is. Before that, it was the automakers. I mean, it's just insane. You know, it just shows you that's, you know, we've got this whole huge group of powerful people chasing the government for money. Obviously, there's favoritism just on its face. You know that.
Well, and you also have a government in place that encourages this kind of thing. I mean, look, when Bill Clinton's Justice Department sued Microsoft for being a monopoly in the 1990s, what was the reason for doing that? Obviously, Microsoft, you know, it's not a monopoly today, is it?
No.
You know, and Microsoft, that was a case they pled. Look, this stuff is moving so quickly. You know, the holdings we have today, we will not have a year from now. Someone will come and take part of our market share. But the real reason they were being sued is because Bill Gates wasn't playing the game. He literally only had two lobbyists in Washington, where he should have had hundreds. Mm-hmm. Because lobbying is not only a way that businesses get their will imposed on government. It's also a way that people in government get rewarded. How many politicians retire to take on jobs as lobbyists? How many politicians' children get hired by lobbying firms? This is open bribery, open corruption that's legal, but certainly not ethical. So it goes all the way around. You can't blame one segment. They're all in it together.
Yeah, they are. I know. And it's not like we can give the Republicans a pass. They're into crony capitalism just like the Democrats are. It's just that the Democrats, the problem with them is they are the ones that are willing to throw more money and make the fire worse. And so, you know, that's it's like, you know, just throw gasoline on the fire as if you're going to put it out. No, you're obviously going to make it much worse, right? I don't know if you have another way of expressing that, but that's what I can think of.
Well, it's like the Democrats are saying that we're basically marching toward a corrupt socialist society, and the Republicans are saying, well, we're just going to walk there.
Right. Yeah, yeah. We're going to get there too, but we're going to get there a little more slowly than you, right? Yeah. Good point. Good point. Yeah. Very good. Good. What else would you like people to know about that? And then I want to talk a little bit about your career in general and, you know, some of your other work.
Well, the book is, it publishes on August 8th. It's available on Amazon now for pre-order and Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. And it's already doing very well, and it isn't even out yet. So we're very pleased, and we really anticipate that we will reach a lot of people, not necessarily people that agree with us, too, because it's just a story that needs to be told. And we'll tell it in any medium that, that people will pay attention.
Yeah, yeah. How did you get your start in the business? And when you say writer, tell us what that means when it comes to the world of graphic novels and comics and so forth. Are you actually drawing and doing the illustrations, or are you just doing the text part of it, or both, or...?
No, every comic book begins with the writer writing the story in a script that looks very much like a screenplay. Mm-hmm. And the artist works from that. And then there's a great deal of collaboration back and forth because, you know, the artist has his own ideas and his own interpretations. So it's a collaboration, to get the thing to what you see on the page.
Sure.
Yeah. But I've never wanted to do anything else. I've always wanted to work in comics, even since before I could read. I just fell in love with comics. And it's my mutant ability to be able to tell stories in a series of static pictures.
Did you start doing that right away? Was that the first thing you did right away? Or did you have another career before that?
No, I never really had a career. You know, I worked a lot of dead-end jobs as doing just about everything. And then just doing a lot of reading and a lot of interviews and, just banging on the doors of all the companies until I finally got a break. Mm-hmm. And, once I got the break and proved my reliability and all the rest of it, I've been busy since.
Yeah, good for you. And are you a freelancer?
Yeah, I'm entirely freelance.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Tell us about some of your other work.
Well, I was 11 years on the Batman titles for DC Comics. I've written more Batman than anybody else has ever written. I was on, up to 4, 5, 6 titles a month for DC. Mm-hmm. Also worked on The Punisher at Marvel. I worked on Conan. I did an adaptation of The Hobbit, which continues to be a bestseller worldwide. I've worked on Simpsons comics and G.I. Joe. Most recently, I've been doing SpongeBob comics. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting ready to start a graphic novel for the U.S. Navy.
Yeah, so. Fantastic. So what will that be for? Will that be a training tool?
It'll be a story of a Navy cross winner from the Vietnam era. They basically want this story told. Yeah. I'm looking forward to working on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to politics a little bit. Have you had any fear or trepidation about publishing stuff about the Clintons? how real is that?
My wife asked, would we be in danger or surveilled? I didn't want to mention we might be audited.
Right. Yeah. Certainly the IRS, that's an easy one. Hey, they got Lois Lerner, right? She's a puppet for the libs.
I mean, they have the power to ruin your life. That's for sure. Maybe. But I assured my wife that I'm just an underling, just a hired hand. I mean, if they were going to go after anybody, it's going to be Peter Schweizer, which I'm sure they've done. I'm sure he's suffered his own, trials because of writing this book, because it has been a powerful influence on the election cycle.
You know, it's funny. I was doing such a productive thing yesterday. I was arguing with a leftist on Facebook, which just so you listeners know, it doesn't work.
You'll never get that time back.
Yeah, exactly. I'll never get that time back because it always devolves into, it used to be I hate George Bush, but they got some new material. Now it's I hate Donald Trump. So, it's great. And he's just evil. I just hate him, blah, blah, blah. No particular reason exactly. He said he made an offhand bad remark about women, or something. I don't know. It's just mind-boggling. In doing this, I posted the link of the Clinton Cash documentary. And, instantly she replied back without looking at anything, I only trust vetted sources and so forth. And I said, John Stewart, right? That's... who thinks anything is vetted anymore? Journalism is a joke nowadays. I would say the only thing that we have that's, represents investigative journalism is 60 Minutes. And of course, that's got a lefty slant. But it's just MSNBC and CNN aren't vetted. I mean, look at all the crap CNN's been exposed for, you know, just completely false reporting. I mean, unbelievable. You know, of course, they've suffered in the ratings, thankfully, for it. But, you know, what do you say to that? You know, if someone said to you, well, your comics or your graphic novel, it's not vetted. It's not. How do you, you know, how do you know it's true? You know, you're just maybe you're just making this stuff up.
Well, right? even in doing the graphic novel, because it's a comic, it required dialogue, mm-hmm. which Peter Schweizer's book did not. His book was facts. But this required dialogue because the characters have to interact. It's a comic book. So mm-hmm. the word balloons have to be filled with people saying things. Well, I had the lawyers all over me. Did they? Mm-hmm. Did Hillary actually say that? Did Chelsea mm-hmm. actually say that? And I had to provide the video proof or news articles where mm-hmm. they were quoted. Right. That yes, I know it sounds crazy, but they did say that. Because, yeah. you know, they didn't want, you know, obviously we don't want to get sued for putting in words in their mouths that they didn't say. Right. But they said a lot of crazy, crazy stuff. And, you know, we put it in the book. But as far as I'm concerned, everything in our book is vetted. You know, we didn't make any leaps of logic or any connections that didn't happen.
Right. And can you imagine if you had an extra 30,000 emails to look at what you might find?
Well, I'm sure it's just about yoga.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure it's just about nothing security oriented. I mean, is it unbelievable that, you know, that the head of the FBI gets up there and basically says this was wrong, that was wrong, that was wrong. She shouldn't have done this. She shouldn't have done that. But we're going to let her off the hook. You can't make this stuff up, can you? I mean,
that was like a Soviet moment.
Really was, yeah.
It was like you just damned her to a prison sentence, and then said, "Well, you know, but nobody will prosecute." He was saying what Al Gore said years ago: there is no controlling legal authority. Once you reach a certain level in our society, there's no controlling legal authority. That's wrong. That is not what the founding fathers intended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're no question about it. It's just mind-boggling that he could say that. It's almost like he was giving a clue to the public, and he didn't want to do it. And I hate to sound conspiratorial, but, you know, frankly, a lot of conspiracies are actually true. Okay, so, you know, but you'll hear the left try and minimize everybody saying, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. What an idiot you must be. Well, I have news for you, folks. America was a conspiracy. The founding of America was a conspiracy against Britain. Okay, get over
right.
it. There, conspiracies
right.
exist, and they're not all bad. Okay, some of them are very true. It's just two people, at least, talking about doing something, right? That's all a conspiracy
right.
is. You know, it's just more than one person. You know, was he in fear for his life, his career? I mean, you can't explain some of this stuff. We just don't know, do we?
Yeah, we don't know the political machinations. I mean, the FBI is supposed to be above politics, but so is the Department of Justice. I mean,
yeah.
that's a joke. So is the Supreme Court.
Oh, the Supreme Court has been proven to be a joke, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they have their own, there's just stuff going on we're not allowed to see, and that's not the way it's supposed to be. It really isn't.
Of course it's not. And it almost speaks to, you know, the whole, and, you know, conspiratorial again, who's really running the world? Who's really running the show? When you have a candidate with this multi-decade track record of, you know, as I said, criminal behavior, I believe, but, you know, you wouldn't go that far. But there's obviously a lot of questions, right? And then
right.
prior to that, you have candidate Obama with virtually no resume. I mean, how can this be? You got to just ask yourself. It's absolutely crazy. It really is mind-boggling.
Yeah, you have an absent and willing media. I mean, the media is chosen sides. If we had a real media, if we had real journalism in this country, we'd be in a different place right now.
Yeah. You know what's kind of interesting about it is that over the years, and I wrote about this maybe, oh gosh, 15 years ago now, what I call the monologue media and the dialogue media. Because back then, and it's still true today largely, but a little less so than before, back then, you looked at the blogosphere, which was really controlled largely by the right, okay? And talk radio controlled by the right,
Okay. And then all of the other forms of media, and this was before social media, of course, all of the other forms of media, book publishing, movies, television, television news, newspapers were all controlled by the left largely, right? And the reason was, is because the blogosphere is a dialogue and talk radio is a dialogue. They take callers. And so people can comment on your blog post. They can send it around and share it with people and make commentary on it. They can call into your talk radio show and argue with you. And you looked at, remember good old Air America that totally failed.
Right.
And my hypothesis about this is that the one-way media, the monologue media, has always been pretty much and will continue to be controlled by the left because their ideas don't have to withstand the scrutiny of debate. Whereas the blogosphere and talk radio and now social media, but that's a kind of a different animal completely almost, the right has the biggest presence there because the arguments can withstand debate. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think that's an excellent point. You know, the left's viewpoints are never challenged or seldom challenged.
I mean, they have an op-ed page, you know, big deal.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, but, you know, a couple of letters to the editor every once in a while.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's the difference between, say, look at Donald Trump. Love him or hate him. You got to admit the guy's fearless. He goes out on the stump. He'll answer any question from anybody. You shout a question out at him from the audience, he'll go into detail. He'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton appears only at vetted, controlled events where basically it's scripted. She knows everything that's going to happen because she's never going to be challenged. Look what happened when Obama was challenged by Joe the plumber. Everybody got into a controversy of, well, he's not a real plumber. That's not the point.
Right. I had Joe the plumber on my show, by the way.
The point isn't his abilities or legal right to call himself a plumber. The point is he got Obama to basically admit he wanted to redistribute wealth.
They
fog it over. It's like, you know, we hear about the DNC is hacked. Oh, well, who did it? Who cares who did it? Let's read the emails.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Who cares? I mean, we're not, you know, the point about that DNC thing, we're not here as the public to do a criminal prosecution. We're here to know the truth. So regardless of how it happened, whether it was WikiLeaks or Russia or whatever, who cares? The emails are the emails. Okay.
Yeah,
and they stand on their own.
And it's ludicrous because only a few weeks ago, the FBI director himself told us that there was probably no way they could ever determine if Hillary's server was cracked by a foreign power. And yet within hours of the WikiLeaks drop, it's the Russians. And a couple hours later, Donald Trump is in collusion with them. We had all the facts. The whole investigation had been done while we slept.
Yeah. And Obamacare was passed while we slept, too. you know, and this was, let me remind you, listeners, 9 years ago, eight, 9 years ago, the candidate who said America needed to become more transparent, he was going to post everything online for 5 days so the public could read it, the media could, you know, expose it, debate about it. And then it's Nancy Pelosi, we got to pass the bill to read what's in it. You know, this is insanity. You can't make this stuff up. It's just mind-boggling, right?
I think it's the sheer weight of absurdity that just people just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I know. Well, Chuck, thank you for doing what you're doing, at least spreading this stuff to a wider audience. There's, you know, it's no wonder that Generation Y is, says they would be 69% of them would be in favor of socialism because they've been bathed in the public school system, which is totally corrupt, through the NEA, the National Extortion Association, and then they go to a university, and oh my God, they're taught by people that work 12 whole hours a week, that are tenured, that can't get fired, that have these cushy jobs. I mean, and of course they believe in these silly ideas that don't work in the real world and free markets, but you know that's what Gen Y has been bathed in. You know, why would they believe anything different than what they believe, right?
It's true.
Yeah, it really is. Chuck, give out your website.
I don't really have one. Just Google me on Amazon. I got like 30 pages of books there.
Fantastic. Do you have a Twitter account you want to share?
No, I don't. I don't do the Twitter thing.
You're not a Twitter guy.
I have a Facebook page.
All right,
Facebook,
good stuff.
Chuck Dixon Author. Look for that.
Okay, Chuck Dixon Author on Facebook. And then, of course, Chuck Dixon on Amazon.com. And thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for being generous with your time, Jason.
The American Monetary Association is a nonprofit venture funded by the Jason Hartman Foundation, which is dedicated to educating people about the practical effects of monetary policy and government actions on inflation, deflation, and personal freedom. Our goal is to help people prosper in the midst of uncertain economic times. This show is produced by the Jason Hartman Foundation, all rights reserved. For publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate professional if you require individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of the Jason Hartman Foundation exclusively.